house of the Lord. Well, Rylan wanted to be here tonight, but they had an event going on in Oklahoma with Lauren's family. But really, I miss Drake more than anything. Y'all know a little bit about that, you grandpas out there. But they wanted to be here. But anyway, we're glad that Brother Jonathan's here. Young preacher in our church, want him to stand and say something for the Lord. All right.
And he said, it was then whenever I realized that I had to depend upon the things that I was taught to depend upon. And that was the gauges there on the dashboard there.
Right.
And he began to look at those gauges and began to follow those gauges.
Uh-huh.
And he said, just a little while, the fog settled down, and he flew through and accomplished his mission.
Right.
And I'm going to read right here, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 10, number 12. As for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed.
Amen.
I know whom I have believed.
Amen.
It's right there, whenever I was thinking about that story, I know what I believe in. I know that this way that I'm walking is true. I know that the Lord is going to bring me through. I know that a prayer life will bring me through. I know that a walk with the Lord will bring me through.
Amen.
No matter what fog may settle down in my life.
Come on.
I know whom I have believed.
Great Lord.
Can't be ashamed of.
Amen.
I've got to know God and believe in him. No matter what settles down in my life, I've got to press on through.
Amen.
The fog will settle down
when
you go through
the conflict. Amen. Amen. We can make it through if we persevere. Praise the Lord. It is my great honor to be able to preach to the youth in our fellowship, and I have taken this seriously. Before God, I have spent much time in prayer. For this service, for this one service. And I believe the Lord not only has a plan, but I believe He has a future that'll come out of this service right here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for the offering tonight. May the Lord bless you for your giving. All right, let's get right in here to the Word of the Lord. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 3. Let's look at verse number 11. This is John the Baptist speaking here. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Amen. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Let's look at verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When therefore they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in Kilgore, Texas, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Again, I want you to look. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. I want to preach tonight on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Could you stretch your hands toward heaven right now? Let's ask God to help us right here in this service. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, for an anointing that comes from above, Lord, that heavenly unction that comes from above. Lord, help me to preach your word. I pray that you would put your words in my mouth. Let me speak the oracles of God tonight. Lord, I don't want to say anything that you don't want me to say. Lord, help me to preach with a spirit of love and compassion. Help me, Lord, not to be hard tonight in my preaching, but help me to preach with love and compassion. God, let the anointing of God be right here. Bless this altar service, Lord. That's what we're reaching for tonight, is the altar, Lord. I'm asking for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. I want you to raise your hand tonight if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid. Lift it on up right now. I want to get a count here tonight. 1, 2, 3. Y'all are shy. 4, 5, 6, 7. Amen. I counted at least 7. Do y'all need it up here? At least 7. Praise the Lord. Huh? You need it? Amen. Tonight in this altar service, amen, which side does the boys or young men pray on? The men pray. The men pray on this side and the women pray on this side. When we get to an altar tonight, I want you that need the Holy Ghost, you men, I want you to just come right on up here and ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And you ladies that need the Holy Ghost, I just want you to come on up here to this side and ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And everybody else, I guess, that's saved here tonight that has the Holy Ghost, you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. You know what I really want you to do tonight, young people? Amen. I want you to get involved in this altar service. Matter of fact, I really just want you to get involved just between you and God. Amen. When you come up here, a lot of times this is what we do. We'll put our hand on someone else that's seeking for the Holy Ghost and we'll help them pray half-heartedly. But tonight, I want you to come up here and mean business with God. I'm talking about you that need the Holy Ghost and you that are already saved that has the Holy Ghost. I want you to pray until God refills you with a baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Really, I don't want anybody to leave this house tonight until you have spoken in tongues. Amen. Praise God. And if you're a sinner, you can speak in tongues tonight, but you got to get saved first. Praise God. So I'm asking God to let everybody in this house, amen, be filled with the Holy Ghost. The preachers on this platform, the young married couples out there, amen, the children, the teenagers, amen, anybody else in this house, amen, I cannot think of anything more important, amen, for our church than to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. I've got a poem here called The Holy Ghost Poem. Some of you might have heard about it, but I got to feeling good today about it, so I'm going to read it to you. 'Twas the month after Jesus had died on the cross. All the demons were nervous, but especially their boss. "Where is that Jesus?" asked the father of lies. "Did he leave his disciples? Is he still with those guys?" One demon spoke up saying, "We have got it made. Jesus went back to heaven and his friends are afraid." But the devil was worried. Things didn't seem right. He'd never known Jesus to run from a fight. If Jesus is gone, then whom will God use? Surely it can't be those 12 powerless Jews. Then the devil barked orders to those who were near. "Find Jesus' disciples and keep them in fear." Demons fled toward Jerusalem, as their master had said, to plant thoughts of fear in each Christian's head. God's work must be stopped. No one must tell that Jesus has beaten the grave, death, and hell. When the demons came near to where the 12 prayed, they saw something so awesome that it made them afraid. Racing back to their leader, the imp started to speak. Once their words reached his ears, his knees became weak. "We felt winds from heaven and the room filled with power. They all spake with tongues for more than an hour. Then they went to the streets and it started again. The Spirit of Jesus was all over those men. We tried hard to stop it, but we had no control. And the worst news is we lost 3,000 souls. I blew it," said the devil with a growl and a hiss. "I should have known God would do something like this. Of all that could happen, this I feared most. Now every Christian can be filled with the Holy Ghost." Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. I'm telling you, every Christian can be filled with the Holy Ghost. If there is one thing the devil does not want for this service, he does not want you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He doesn't want the children to get it. He doesn't want the teenagers to get it. He don't want the young married couples to get it. He don't want you to have it. I said, if there's anything that the devil does not want for this service, he does not want you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Praise God. I tell you what I need right now. I need a praying church in this house. Amen. I need preachers to pray right now. I need a praying church right now. Amen. I feel in prayer today. Amen. Most of the day in prayer. Amen. Many hours in prayer. I felt God dealing with me that it is His desire to pour His Spirit out. Amen. In this hour, I tell you, church, I don't want to get away from the outpouring of the Spirit of God. I don't want to get away from having Pentecost in this hour. I want my boys to experience Pentecost. Am I too loud out there tonight? Am I too loud on y'all? I need some volume up here, brother. I just don't want to be too loud on y'all tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I want my children to experience Pentecost like I did when I was a young man. I want them to have it. Praise God. Amen. Woo, and they were all filled. You know, God's no respecter of persons. He's not going to come to this service and say, I'll fill you and you, but I won't fill you. He's coming here tonight to tell us He wants to fill you and you and you and you. He wants to fill all. Praise God. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they were dwelling at Jerusalem. Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. God brought every one of them together to show them, amen, what He wanted to do. Hallelujah! I feel like God has brought you here tonight to show you what He wants to do. I've had the Holy Ghost baptism for 30 years now. Praise God. Brother Harold Wayne, do you remember the night I got the Holy Ghost? Brother, of all people here, you come tonight. Amen. Brother Harold Wayne has given me the best advice that I have ever had in my life from anybody except my dad. Amen. And the advice that Brother Harold Wayne gave me, I was a 15-year-old boy at Fairland Camp Meeting, July the 21st, 1987. I got filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I had made it up in my mind that I wanted the Holy Ghost. I'd come to the altar many times. I'd come to the altar dozens of times trying to get the Holy Ghost. But when I made my mind up that I was going to get the Holy Ghost, it took me 3 days to get the Holy Ghost. That day I told my mom, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. I come in, sit down at Fairland that night, camp meeting. Amen. I told the guy sitting beside me, I said, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. He said, you are? I said, I am. Amen. That night the preacher got up and he preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. I went and stood right in front of Fairland's pulpit in the new church. That preacher hit me in the head with his hand just as soon. I'm not talking about 1 second after, 1 second before, but just as soon as the man of God hit me in the head, the Holy Ghost came upon me. And I started speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is real. I can never doubt it. God has proven to me through tongues and interpretation and the gifts of the Holy Ghost that He's given me. He's proven to me that the Holy Ghost is real. I can never doubt it that the Holy Ghost isn't real. And they told me that I spoke in tongues that night for about 45 minutes. The first person to talk to me when I kind of came to was Brother Harold Wayne. And he gave me this advice right here. I'm telling you, it's the best advice I ever had in my life, brother. I thought of you several times today. And you're here. I think that's just a confirmation from the Holy Ghost.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
This is what Brother Harold Wayne told me. He pulled me over. He was already married. So he's getting old, isn't he? Oh, you was just about to get married. Okay, well, he ain't that old then. Just almost been married 30 years, huh? 29 and plus. He pulled me over there, and he said, Brother Stacy, he said, let me give you some advice. I said, okay. Man. He said, try to pray through to the Holy Ghost every day until the Holy Ghost speaks through you every day. Try to be tender enough to the Holy Ghost that when you pray, you yield yourself to the Holy Ghost every day and you speak in tongues every day. Brother Harold Wayne, do you remember telling me that? Praise God, it's been the best advice that I have ever had in all of my life outside the advice my dad has given me. Amen. So that's what I thought, amen, I needed to do. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Harold Wayne, for telling me that. See, you know what I have tried to do? I have tried to pray through to the Holy Ghost every day for the last 30 years. I'm not going to tell you I have every day. There might have been a few days that I haven't. But as God is my witness, the Holy Ghost has prayed through me every day for the last 30 years. I want to tell you, young people, the reason I'm still saved is not because I'm a good guy. The reason I'm still saved is the power of the Holy Ghost that's in my life. Praise God! I'm telling you, if you want to stay saved, you must rely upon the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus said, amen, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
All right.
Now we believe, as the free, independent, holiness churches, that the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost baptism is speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. I've preached on every doctrine of the Bible many times. And I couldn't remember today for the life of me if there was 14 or 16 doctrines. Huh? Okay. Amen. There are 16 doctrines of the Bible. Listen to me, church. One of those doctrines of the Bible is speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Amen. If you have not spoken tongues, you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You don't. No, you don't. Where do you get that, preacher? I get it from the Bible. Acts chapter number 2. They spake with other tongues as they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter number 10. Cornelius prayed until it got God's attention. And God said his prayers became a memorial. Every memorial you read in the Bible is a memorial. Amen. Where man gets God's, or God gets man's attention. But I'm telling you, this memorial was a memorial, amen, that man prayed and got God's attention. I want to tell you, amen, in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius prayed. And as Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell upon all of them that heard the word. And they spake with other tongues. And they that went with them heard them speak with other tongues. And they said, they have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. Amen. They spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Acts chapter number 19. And Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we hadn't even heard of the Holy Ghost. He said, unto what then were you baptized? They said, John's baptism. I'm just wondering, they must have played hooky that day when John said, there's another baptism. Amen. Oh, listen. The Bible said Paul laid his hands upon those men, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues. I'm telling you, church, amen, the initial evidence. We cannot make a mistake at this. We cannot settle for having the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues. We cannot miss this, church. We cannot compromise this. Amen. You don't have the Holy Ghost if you've never spoken tongues. Amen. The initial evidence of the Holy Ghost baptism is speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. I have got a book here. It's called Eyewitness Reports of the Azusa Street Revival. Amen. During the summer of 1905, Charles Parham came to Houston, Texas, and conducted a citywide crusade. And Parham's message was the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues. There was a woman pastor there in Houston, Texas, by the name of Lucy Farrow. Lucy Farrow was the niece, amen, of the famous, well, here it is here, somewhere, amen, a famous man. Okay, here she is. I'll find it a little bit. Amen. But she was the pastor of this church in Houston, Texas, when she heard this man preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She was the niece of Frederick Douglass, okay? When she heard this man preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it intrigued her. She pastored, amen, a Baptist church. Amen. She went following after this guy. Amen. But his message intrigued her. She said, I want this. Amen. So this brother, Charles Parham, he and his wife asked this lady if she would be their nanny, and she traveled with them. Amen. And so the church that she was pastoring, she handed over to this man by the name of William Seymour. Amen. So William Seymour's pastoring this church in Houston, Texas. This lady that was the pastor went with that evangelist and his wife being a nanny. During one of their meetings, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in 1905, 1906, somewhere around there. She came back to Houston, Texas and told William Seymour, amen, of her experience. Amen. William Seymour got, amen, a call, I guess, amen, a wired message. Amen. From Los Angeles, California, wanting him to come out there and pastor a church. Amen. He had a desire in his heart, amen, to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So he started praying about it. He started seeking God about it. Listen, young people, he prayed 5 hours a day for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He was serious about it. You know what would happen if you get serious about it? God will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. This man prayed 5 hours a day for the Holy Ghost baptism.
All right.
Amen. He moved to Los Angeles, California, started pastoring the church out there. Amen. I'm just going to read a little bit, okay? As well, after he moved there, Seymour did not receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Houston, but he was convinced of its veracity and had decided to preach it without compromise. In his first service at the mission in Los Angeles, amen, he therefore broached the subject of the experience called the baptism in the Holy Ghost with evidence by speaking in tongues. His audience, however, equated the baptism in the Holy Spirit with their experience of sanctification and did not believe that tongues to be necessary. When Seymour returned from the evening service, he found the door padlocked, and the elders had decided that he was preaching false doctrine and chose to lock him out. Stay with me. Some of the members had compassion on Seymour and invited him to stay in two different homes, in the home of Edward Lee and then in the home of Richard Asbury. Having an immense hunger for the life and power of the Holy Spirit, Seymour gave himself to almost constant prayer. He later said, "Before I met Parham, such a hunger for the more of God was in my heart that I prayed 5 hours a day 2.5 years, I got to Los Angeles, and when I got there, the hunger was no less but more. I prayed. I said, God, what can I do? He said, the Spirit said, pray more. He said, but Lord, I'm already praying 5 hours a day for the Holy Ghost. I increased my hours of prayer to 7 hours a day, and I prayed for another 1.5 years. He said, I prayed to God for God to give me what Parham preached, the real Holy Ghost, amen, with fire and tongues, with love and power of God, like the apostles had. Y'all stay with me right here. I felt like reading just a little bit. I'm almost done. Noticing that their new guest was spending much time in his prayer closet, the Asburys decided to open up their home on 214 Bonnie Bray Street to evening prayer meetings. In the course of their gatherings, Seymour shared with the group about Lucy Faro, who was the first to tell him about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and who had already received the experience. They were so anxious to meet her that they took up an offering for her train fare and invited her to come. A few days later, Edward Lee returned home after work to find Faro had just arrived from Houston. He was so hungry for the baptism in the Holy Spirit that after a brief introduction, he implored Sister, if you lay your hands on me, I believe God will give me the baptism right now. She replied, I cannot do it unless the Lord says so. Later, while eating dinner, Faro rose from her seat, walked over to Lee, and said, the Lord tells me to lay my hand on you for you to receive the Holy Ghost. Then she laid her hand on Lee, and immediately Lee fell out of his chair, and while lying on the floor, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Later that day, Lee and Faro went to the Asbury home for the evening prayer meeting. When Edward Lee walked through the door, he lifted his hands and began speaking in tongues. Suddenly, the power of God fell, and virtually everyone present at that prayer meeting began to speak with tongues. One of those present was Jenny Moore, who later became Seymour's wife. Jenny Moore and Seymour received the Holy Ghost baptism at this time. Amen. Jenny Moore, who became Seymour's wife, she not only spoke in tongues, but went to the piano and played and sang in tongues, even though she had never had a lesson. Eyewitnesses tells of this event. Listen, they shouted 3 days and nights. It was the Easter season. The people came from everywhere around that area in Los Angeles. By the next morning, there was no way of getting near to the house, and the people came. Everyone that came to the house fell under the power of God, and the whole city was stirred. They shouted there until the foundation of the house gave way. Amen. But no one was hurt. Listen, it was during those 3 days there were so many people that came, and every one of them received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The sick were healed. Sinners were saved. Amen. Just by coming into the presence of God. Stay with me. I've never read this much out of a book before. But I want you to get this right here. Hallelujah. Realizing that Asbury's home was too small to contain the crowds, Seymour and others began looking for larger facilities for their prayer meeting. They finally located an older, dilapidated building at 312 Azusa Street in downtown Los Angeles. And it was from that time that the Azusa Street Revival broke out, and it lasted for 3 whole years. They went to church every day for 3 whole years. There were people that come from the East Coast and traveled all the way to California. They meant to receive this experience. Missionaries came from afar, amen, and received this experience, and the power of God, amen, was spread forth, and God sent revival all across the nation. I feel like right now it could be that in this very service, if the power of God would break forth upon us, that the power of God could fill everybody in this house of God tonight. I've been praying for all of our area churches. Wouldn't it be something tonight? I know God wants to do this right now. That these young people get so filled with the power of the Holy Ghost that they take this experience back to their church with them. I would like to get such an experience in the Holy Ghost tonight that I would take this experience back to Shreveport with me. Amen. I read later on in the book that people that came from afar, amen, as they started to enter to 312 Azusa Street, amen, they had to park a long ways away just to get to it. While they were walking there, when they got within 2 blocks of that place, the power of God, Brother Tracy, was so strong that they had to stop and they repented before they ever got into the church, because the power of God was so strong upon them. I tell you, church, if right now I feel God, if right now you got sin in your heart, why don't you just stop what you're doing right now and repent? Ask God to send you revival. Ask God to send the young people revival. Ask God to let the Holy Ghost fall upon us. I tell you one more time, I believe God wants to pour the Holy Ghost out upon the church like He did at Azusa Street. He wants to pour His Spirit out.
Yeah.
Behold, saith God, draw near unto me, my people. Draw near unto me, saith God. Put away the sin that is in your life, saith God, and draw near unto me, my people. For I have desired to pour forth my spirit upon you, and I will do that, saith the Lord. For I go to my Father, and I pray to my Father that he would send forth his spirit. And I will do that right now, saith the Lord. Come before me, my people. Humble yourself. Put away your sin. And I will send forth my spirit, saith the Lord. I'd like for young people to come before God right now at this altar. Amen. This could be a definite life-changing experience. It could save your soul from hell. Hear me. I want you to come before God right now. I don't even want you to open up your eyes until God gets through with you. I want you to come before the presence of God Almighty. Put away your sin, says God. Put away your sin, saith God. Amen. And humble your heart before God. Ask Him to fill you with His Spirit. Come, church. I want everybody to come. Come on, all you young people up here. Come, every one of you young people up here, come. Come on up here. You young ladies, come over here. Young men, come over here. Amen. If you're 25 and under, I want you in this altar service. Amen. Amen. I want you to lift your hands toward heaven right now. If you need the Holy Ghost, I want you to ask God to give you the Holy Ghost. If you need a refilling, I want you to ask God to give you a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Come, let's pray, church. Let's seek the Lord. Church, let's get our minds on the Lord. Nobody talking, please. This is a serious altar service. Nobody talking, please. Respect the Holy Ghost in this altar service. Everybody, lift your hands toward heaven right now. Let's worship God in this house.